are dearer than all that the world can impart, was the message that came to my heart. How that Jesus alone for my sin did atone, and Calvary covers it whole. Calvary covers it whole. My past with its sin and stain, my guilt and despair, Jesus took on him there, and Calvary covers it whole. The stripes that he bore and the thorns that he wore told his mercy and love evermore. And my heart bowed with shame as I called on his name, and Calvary covers it whole. How blessed the thought that my soul by him bought shall be his in the glory on high, where with gladness and song I'll be one of the throng, and Calvary covers it whole. Calvary covers it whole. My past with its sin and its stain, my guilt and despair, Jesus took on him there, and Calvary covers it whole. My guilt and despair, Jesus took on him there, and Calvary covers it whole.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Shaddix. God bless you. I looked up in the sound room a moment ago, and I thought, who is that man up there in the sound room? And it was Brother Shaddix. If you are not acquainted with Brother Shaddix, he's half the man he used to be. He used to be described as three axe handles across. Now look at him. He told me the suit I've got on, I wore to my high school graduation. The amazing thing is that he preserved it all those years. I didn't see a moth hole in it. But that was a blessing, Brother Shaddix. God bless you. Open your Bibles this evening to Genesis chapter 50. Genesis chapter 50. My, what a blessing the message was, Brother Angel. What a blessing. I hope you took notice of that and made notes of that. Because I promise you, today or tomorrow, the next day, you're going to need that message. The faith is that body of truth. Jesus taught the apostles, and the apostles taught the church and entrusted to us. A life of faith hinges on the faith. If you don't have the faith down, you're never going to be a man of faith that's declared faithful. What a blessing. You men know how that President Obama and his dog Bo are different. Bo has papers. Stand with me out of love and respect for the Word of God, and we'll begin to read in verse number 14. The Bible says, "And Joseph returned unto Egypt, he and his brethren, and all that went up with him to bury his father after he had buried his father. And when Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead, they said, Joseph will peradventure hate us and will certainly requite us all the evil which we did unto him. And they sent a messenger unto Joseph, saying, Thy father did command before he died, saying, So shall you say unto Joseph, Forgive, I pray thee now, the trespass of thy brethren and their sin. For they did unto thee evil, and now we pray thee, forgive the trespass of thy servants of the God of thy father. And Joseph wept when they spake unto him. And his brethren also went and fell down before his face, and they said, Behold, we be thy servants. And Joseph said unto them, Fear not, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive. Now therefore fear ye not, I will nourish you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them." I want you to notice verse number 20 for the basis of our message today. "But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it for unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive." I know of no other man in the Bible that was a man of greater character and integrity than Joseph. You'll not find one bad thing written about Joseph in the Scripture. He is the Old Testament type of Jesus Christ. He was a man of principle, a man of character, a man that made a difference in his day and in his age. And because he made a difference, all the nations of the earth and the peoples of the earth have been blessed because of Joseph, a man of character and integrity. Had he sought revenge against his brothers and executed that revenge and killed them, Judah, one of his brothers, would have been one of the victims. And it was through Judah that David was born. And it was of the lineage of David that Jesus came into the world. God used a man of integrity, a man of character, a man who lived by principle to save much people alive and make it possible that the world might have a Savior. Wow. Now I want to use that story this morning and preach on this subject. To save much people alive. That's why we're here. We're here as His ambassador. We're here to reach a world. Jesus gave to us the Great Commission. He gave it to the church and applied it to us individually. He gave it to us collectively when He said, "Ye shall receive power." He applied it personally when He said, "You shall be my witnesses. As the Father has sent me, so send I you." Ye is plural, you is singular. Don't sit in a church and think that because the church is doing something, you don't have to. God has left us here to save much people alive. A person of poor character, of poor integrity, a man that never lives by principle is not going to be used by God to save much people alive. We live in a dark day. A day of secularism. A day when we're moving closer to socialism than to Christianity or democracy. Someone said, socialism fails when you run out of other people's money. God's not looking for other people. He's looking for you as an individual to save much people alive. Father, help me today in these next few moments to be a help and a blessing to these men who gave up a Friday night and a Saturday morning, paid the price to come, stayed overnight, and are here for this last service of this Men of the Word Conference. I'd be foolish to think that I can be a blessing and a help to them standing in my energy and my power, for I have neither. But I beg you to fill me with thy Holy Spirit and use me as I preach your word so that they might have something from God that will help them in these difficult days to live in such a way so they can save much people alive. Lord, it may be that much people is our own family. Would you speak to our hearts, and we'll thank you in advance for what you shall do in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Most of us are well aware of the life of Joseph. The Bible tells us he was hated by his brothers, sold into slavery, taken from Cana to Egypt, sold to Potiphar as a servant, tempted by Potiphar's wife, and when he refused her temptation, she lied about him to her husband. Potiphar had him put in prison, but even in prison, as well as in Potiphar's house, God's hand was upon him. God blessed him and promoted him, and people around him were blessed because of Joseph's presence. Being mistreated, lied about, and being put into prison cannot hold back God's blessings on a person who lives by Bible principle and is a man of good character and integrity. Now, in Joseph's day, because of the great famine throughout the land of Egypt and Cana, and because God had promoted Joseph to the position of vice regent over Egypt, second only to Pharaoh, God had used Joseph to prepare to save Egypt during the time of the drought. But not only was he going to save Egypt, he was going to save his own family during this difficult time. Because of the drought, Joseph's brother were sent from Cana to Egypt to buy corn. This they did several times until Joseph revealed himself as their brother and asked them to bring their father and their families back to Egypt and allow him to care for them. In the course of time, Joseph dies in Egypt. And as he had requested, Joseph and his brothers took him back to the burying place that Abraham had purchased to bury Sarah and a burying place for his family. Having returned to Egypt, Joseph's brothers are certain now that Jacob was dead, that he had died, Joseph would finally get his revenge on his brothers. And in Genesis chapter 50, verse 19 and 20, God says, Joseph makes this statement to his brethren, and Joseph said unto them, "Fear not, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive." Ultimately, as Christians, our purpose on this earth is to save much people alive. That will require a principled life. And I want to give you about six things Joseph had to overcome before he was the kind of man God could use to save much people alive. First of all, if we're going to save much people alive in our generation, then we cannot give up in the pit. Genesis 37, verse 22, the Bible tells us about Reuben saying unto them, see, the brothers had said, "Let's kill him. Tell his daddy a wild beast devoured him." And Reuben said unto them, "Shed no blood, but cast him into this pit that is in the wilderness, and lay no hand upon him, that he might rid him out of our hands," or their hands, "to deliver him to his father." Genesis 37, verse 24 says, "And they took him, and they cast him into a pit. And the pit was empty, and there was no water in it." In verse 28 of that same chapter, the Bible says, "Then there passed by Midianite merchants, and they drew and lifted up Joseph out of the pit, and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver, and they brought Joseph into Egypt." Because of the lack of principle and character, the pit is where most of us fail. We give up in the pit because we're mistreated by a family member or by friends. We find ourselves in the pit of despair, and we allow the hurt to grow into bitterness. And the bitterness turns into hatred, and the hatred and bitterness quenches the Holy Spirit in our life, and thus usefulness to God dies in us. We've lost our power. We've lost our light. Our light's gone out because of the pit. We find ourselves backslidden, needing help ourselves. It's the pit where too many of us give up. We cannot give up in the pit. Listen to me. In the Lord's work and in life, you're going to be mistreated. In the Lord's work, you're going to get hurt. You're going to be disappointed. People are going to lie to you. Family members are going to dishonor you. You're going to find yourself in the pit of despair, pit of discouragement. And that's where most Christians give up. There is a graveyard of multiplied multitudes of men who could be serving God today in the church, who could be a leader in the home, who could be a blessing to the cause of Christ, but they are a has-been, a might-have-been, because they found themselves in the pit. Oh, it wasn't their doing. Somebody else did it to them. But that's all it took. And they gave up in the pit. Doesn't matter what the name of that pit might be. If If you're ever going to be used of God to be a blessing to your family or be a blessing in your church or be a blessing in reaching other people, you must not give up in the pit. There are men here today that have failed in the pit. You have family members and friends who have done you wrong. You need spiritual help. And those family members need help. But you can't help them because you've given up in the pit. If you're going to save much people alive, then you cannot give up in the pit, no matter what the pit's name might be. You better realize that God is greater than our pits. No doubt Joseph was hurt by his brothers, but standing on principle, he trusted God and he got over it. When he had an opportunity to be a blessing and save a nation and save his own family, because he had dealt with the pit problem, he is able to save much people alive. What's the name of your pit? Doesn't matter. You can't give up in the pit. Stand on God. Get over it. You say, but you don't know how it's hurt. Buy you a pacifier and get over it. If you're going to be used by God, you can't give up in the pit. Secondly, if you're going to save much people alive, then you must not yield to the lust of the flesh. Old Joseph made it through the pit problem. He got over the hatred and mistreatment of his brothers. He got over being sold as a slave, carried down to Egypt, and sold as a servant in the house of Potiphar. Now the average Baptist would have never handled any of that. They'd have been out of church, out of God's will, out of the Bible, dead to the usefulness of anyone else that have been so bitter and their spirit would have stunk so much, nobody could have stood them. People like that all over this country got hurt in the pit, got hurt by brother or sister in Christ. I know preachers that way. Listen, if you're going into the ministry and you can't stand being hurt, don't pastor. Old devil's going to see to it you're not going to be in the ministry about 45 seconds until somebody disappoints you. But if the old devil can't destroy you in the pit, he'll use lust to destroy you. If you're going to save most people alive, then you must not yield to the lust of the flesh. Genesis chapter 39, I'll just tell you about it for sake of time. He was now serving in Potiphar's house and God was blessing everything his hand touched because he's a man of character and principle. He hadn't given up in the pit. Potiphar turned everything over to him. Potiphar didn't even know what he had, what he owned. Turned it all over to Joseph. Potiphar not only had a lot of money, evidently he had a pretty wife. Pretty. And she was a floozy. Set her eyes on this young man. And by the way, if there's any kind of God's power and evidence of God's power in your life, there's some woman somewhere going to try to take advantage of it. There's so many women out there married to a bunch of mice for men. They're looking for somebody that has some form of leadership and blessing. The old devil will send them to the young man or the old man alike. Because the devil wants to destroy you. And she set her eyes on Joseph and said, "Come, lie with me." There is no evidence in Scripture that this young man of character and principle gave her any indication that he was interested. None whatsoever. But she was interested. And she said, "Come lie with me," and he would not. And again, "Come lie with me," and he would not. And one day she said, "Come lie with me," and she grabbed his coat and he pulled out of his coat and ran away. Don't tell me that there is not in you something about this flesh that is pleased when somebody thinks you're something special. And don't tell me there's not something about this flesh that does not desire. You better be careful. Old devil does not care what the name of the sin is as long as he can use it to destroy you. And if he can't destroy you in the pit, he'll try to destroy you with the lust of the flesh. He pulled away. He ran away. She lied about him. And Potiphar believed her. And had him put in prison. But he didn't give up. He didn't give up in the pit. He didn't give up to the lust of the flesh. He preserved his integrity. Let me say to you, it does not matter what people say about you, what they accuse you of. You just better make sure it's not true. You better stay true to God and faithful to God. And God will bless you in spite of your circumstances. In spite of what people are saying. There in the prison, God was still all over Joseph. Blessed him. So much that the jailer turned all the prisoners over to him. Nothing was happening in prison that Joseph had not decided, didn't have control over. God was blessing the prison guard because of Joseph. And people in the prison were being blessed because of Joseph. A man of integrity. Who did not give up in the pit, who did not yield to the lust of the flesh. And God used him to save much people alive. We spend too much time feeding our flesh. I wonder how many families and people have been lost to God and to heaven because men didn't have character to withstand the lust of the flesh. There are churches without pastors and mission fields without missionaries and homes without fathers because pastors and missionaries and fathers did not have enough character to withstand the lust of the flesh. We're going to be used of God to save much people alive. We must not yield to the sin of lust. If old Satan can't destroy you in the pit, and if he can't destroy you with lust, we've got to realize if we're going to save much people alive, then we must not forget or deny our posterity. Joseph was in Egypt. But he was not an Egyptian. He was a Hebrew. He was one of God's people. And he never forgot it. He never forgot it. He remembered who he was. And that set him apart from everybody else in Egypt and in the world. He was a child of God. God had a purpose and plan for his life. If you're going to ever be used of God to save much people alive, you must not forget or deny your posterity. He always remembered, even though he was in Egypt, he was a Hebrew, he was a child of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Neither must we forget who we are. We're saved by the blood of the crucified one. We're not our own. We've been bought with a price. We're an heir to God and a joint heir with Jesus. We're an ambassador to the God of glory. We're light shining in a dark world. We're the one that's been entrusted with the gospel of Jesus Christ to go into all the world and preach the gospel. You know, God has entrusted the church with His Word. We're the custodians of the Word of God as a local church. Paul said, if I tarry long, that thou might knowest how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. But God's not only entrusted the church with His Word, He's entrusted to us the gospel. The gospel is the message of redemption. It's the good news that Jesus died for our sins, was buried, and rose again for our justification. And He tells us to take the gospel to every creature, to the whole world. If we're going to save much people alive, then we cannot forget who we are. We are not a bunch of worldlings. We're God's children. We're not here to be entertained. We're here to live and serve the living God. We're not to be like the world. We're to be like Christ. He says, without holiness, no man shall see God. He said, what does that mean? Well, let me give you one possible meaning of it. The lost world cannot see God. The lost world cannot understand the Word of God. The natural man understandeth not the things of God, for it is spiritually discerned. The only way they're going to understand the Word of God is some Christian tell it to them, witness it to them, teach it to them, preach it to them. And if our walk and our talk don't agree, how are they going to believe what we say? If I don't live like Jesus and act like Jesus and practice those principles Jesus left us, how's anybody out there ever going to see God? It's God's will that they see Him through us. Has anybody ever accused you of looking like Jesus? Has anybody ever said, you remind me of Jesus? Has anybody ever said to you, man, whew, I see Jesus in you.
Amen. Come on.
We're going to save much people alive. We better never forget who we are. Joseph never forgot that he wasn't an Egyptian. He is a Hebrew. He is a child of God. He is an heir to God. He had a heritage. He didn't forget who he was. Secondly, he never forgot his father. He never forgot his father. All those years down there in Egypt, sold as a slave, put in prison, now elevated to the second position of power in all of Egypt. He never forgot that back there in Cana was a little old white-haired, stoop-shouldered man that loved him. his father. Let me say, first of all, don't forget your earthly fathers. It's a sorry son that forgets his father and what his father has provided for you to make you to bring you to the place where you are right now. But don't you forget your heavenly father. Don't you forget the one that has given you his name and made you his son, who paid a price that you could not pay. He redeemed us, forgave us, gave us his name. He's given us a life worth living here, plus heaven to look forward to. He never forgot his father. Get away from home and find ourselves in places and opportunities that would disgrace our earthly father and bring shame to our heavenly father. He never forgot his father. Never forgot his father. When he had opportunity, he made arrangements to care for his father in his time of great need. He honored his father's request even in death and took him back from Egypt over to that place where Abraham had bought a cave. Oh, it was located in a field in an area later on known as Hebron. But you study it out. Back in Abraham's day and thereafter, it was the place where the giants dwelt. It never became a city of refuge until a man of faith said, I want that mountain. But old Joseph never forgot his father, never forgot his heavenly father. Thirdly, if you're going to save much people alive, don't deny or forget your posterity. He never forgot his brethren. Now, let me say to you, he never forgot that they hated him. He never forgot that they put him in the pit. He never forgot that they sold him into bondage. And now then they were there wanting corn from him, didn't know who he was. But he never forgot them. He knew who they were. And he didn't hate them. He didn't seek revenge against them because they were his brethren and he wanted a right relationship with God. He wanted God's blessings. He knew he couldn't have it if he hated them. Hey, somebody hurts you and you're so foolish that you give up everything that God wants to do with you and for you just so you can hate them. That's a poor exchange, isn't it? Hey, Joseph never forgot how they treated him. But neither did he hate them. He took care of them in this time of crisis. He never forgot his father, never forgot his brethren. He never forgot his God. He never got angry with God or bitter at God. He didn't blame God for all that happened. I'm amazed at people. Because things don't go exactly the way you think they ought to, or because the way you wanted them to, you blame God and you hate God. Well, I'm never going back to church. You don't know what God's done to me. Well, let me say to you, he's not done what he ought to have done. The truth is, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. don't forget your God. Something is sure screwed up in our thinking when we blame God for our problems. I'll tell you where my problems come from the stupid decisions I make. From the faulty associations I get into. Wanting something for nothing. Forgetting the principles of God's Word. Don't blame God. Don't blame God. He never forgot His God. Then number four. You'll never save much people alive unless you learn how to forgive. You say, how come God blessed old Joseph? Even though he was so mistreated, he was in the pit, he was lied about, hated by his brothers, thrown in prison, forgotten in prison, and God still blessed him. You know why? Because Joseph never forgot how to forgive. He never forgot how to forgive. I remember preaching a message on forgiveness one day, right here in this pulpit. After the service, I walked down that aisle, hit a couple of men in the stomach while their heads was bowed on my way out. I did that a lot. Got out in the foyer and this woman came to me and she was angry. Said, I'm not going to forgive him. My father, you don't know what he did to me. I'm going to hate him all the days of my life because I want him to be miserable. And I said, ma'am, you forget the whole principle of forgiveness. It's not so your father can be happy. Forgiveness is so that God can heal you of your hurt and you can be happy. If you're going to save much people alive, then you better learn how to forgive. Forgiveness is Christ-like. Nobody's ever treated us the way we've treated Christ. We've broken every one of His rules. We've disobeyed Him, dishonored Him, mocked Him by our lives, identified with the wrong crowds, done the wrong thing. Instead of bringing Him glory, we've sought that glory for ourselves. And yet, when they nailed Him on that old rugged cross, He could have thought it and sent the world to hell. But He said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. If you're ever going to be used to save much people alive, you better not forget how to forgive. To forgive is Christ-like. Not to forgive is satanic. It's demonic. It's destructive. Forgiveness makes it possible that the hurts of our life and heart can be healed. Without forgiveness, there is no healing. Until we learn to forgive. Fifthly, we cannot save much people alive if we forget our God-given vision. From a lad, God had shown Joseph that there's going to come a day when he'd be elevated. And even his brethren would bow down before him. He showed him that on several different occasions. Now Joseph might have made a mistake telling his brothers about it. It didn't add to their love for him or their relationship with him. But Joseph knew in his heart God had a purpose for his life. And that purpose involves saving much people alive. He didn't forget God's vision and plan for his life in the pit. He didn't forget it when he was tempted by Potiphar's wife. He didn't forget about it when he was in prison. finally, he stands before Pharaoh. And God makes it possible for him to be promoted to the second in power of all Egypt. Only Pharaoh had more power than Joseph had in Egypt. Only Pharaoh. You see, all of this time he never forgot those dreams, that vision. He didn't stand before Pharaoh and say, it's going to come a drought. Somebody had better save some corn and put together a plan to save Egypt. And I'm the man. No, he didn't. It was God's plan. It was God's vision. He didn't manipulate. He didn't intimidate to try to bring about what he knew was the will of God. He allowed God to promote him. In God's time, in God's way. He never forgot God's plan and purpose. He didn't always understand it, but he never forgot it. In the pit, in the prison, or in the palace. And you better realize that God has a plan for your life and mine. No matter where we are or what the circumstances, we must not forget the plan of God for our life. Because somewhere in that plan of God and the circumstances of the day, God's going to bring you to the place where you can save much people alive. But if you get angry, you get bitter, you quit in the pit, you yield to lust, you forget the plan of God and the calling of God in your life. You're not going to save much people alive. And then you're going to have to stand before God and explain why you failed in God's wonderfully designed plan for your life. One more thing. If you're going to save much people alive, then you cannot forget God in your prosperity. More Baptists are probably destroyed because of prosperity than anything else. Hey, it's not contrary to Washington. It's not poverty that's destroying people. It's prosperity. Too much idle time and too much money to buy the wrong things and get in trouble in our spare time. Get a little money in your pocket. You don't think you need God as much as you did when you don't know what you're going to eat for supper or feed your children. And you had to get on your face and cry out to God even for a meal that day. This last week I went to Rogers, Arkansas to preach a missions conference. There in the Northwest Arkansas airport, suddenly I realized that my wallet was gone. Somebody had picked my pocket. Everything I owned with identity except my passport was in my wallet. I didn't have any money in my pocket. I couldn't prove who I was. I didn't exist as far as the world is concerned. You talk about helpless. You talk about, hey, if it cost a nickel to use the restroom, I'd have had to go outside and look for some place to use it outside because I didn't have anything. And you know, when I had my wallet, my identity, and some cash and credit cards. I didn't think about praying. Like I did when I didn't have anything. Suddenly I got, oh God! Oh God! Most Baptists are destroyed by Satan, not by lust, not by poverty, but by prosperity. We got enough money, we can buy a camper. We can buy a little cabin on the lake. Oh, we can get a timeshare. I can't take off of work, but I can sure skip church on the weekends. And it's not long till their children's backslid and they're backslid and they lose their children, they lose their marriage, they lose their testimony because of prosperity. Never fazed Joseph. Man, he was in the pit with nothing, and he still served God. He was in the midst of temptation and stayed true to God. He was put in prison, but the hand of God was still on him. And he was elevated to the place where his word could do anything in Egypt. He had everything, but it never changed Joseph. And because of it, God used him to save a nation and save his family. And we're sitting here today singing Victory in Jesus, and I've got a mansion just over the hilltop because here was a man that wasn't destroyed in the pit. Lust couldn't destroy him. Lies and prison couldn't destroy him. Prosperity couldn't destroy him. Here was a man who learned how to forgive. Hatred didn't destroy him because he forgave. God used him to save much people alive. Let me make an application and I'm through. If you're here tonight or today, a man married, or you want to be one day, you got a wife and you got children, it ought to be your desire to save your family alive. To save them from that lion. To save them from the world. From the pitfalls. From the hurts and the heartaches. Then you can't give up in the pit. You can't let lust destroy you. Don't you forget who you are. Don't forget your posterity. Learn how to forgive. You must not allow prosperity to hinder you, because you've got a little boy, a little girl, a sweet wife that needs a daddy that can get a hold of God and save his family alive. There's people out there God wants you to reach, and you can't reach them if you give up in the pit. If you give up to lust, if you give over to hatred or to bitterness, if you don't learn how to forgive. Father, that's our message. Speak to our heart now. Oh, the urgency of this day. There is such a famine of principle and character and spiritual understanding in our world today. People are dying and going to hell. We're losing our teenagers out of our church. We're losing them from our families. God, somewhere, somebody's got to realize, my job is to save my family, to save my children, to save much people alive. And I can't do it if I'm not what God wants me to be. If I'm devil bait, if I'm destroyed by the pit, by anger and bitterness, jealousy, hurt, unforgiveness, lust. If I forget who I am, if I forget who my God is, if I forget your plan and purpose for my life, people are going to suffer and people are going to hurt and people are going to die without hope. Help us today to be those men that are determined to give you our life and live in such a way so you can use us to save much people alive. We ask it in the name of our Savior. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Stand, if you will, as the piano begins to play. Would you come and join these who are already at the altar today? Maybe God has spoken to your heart and there's something there that you need to leave with God. You need to confess as sin and you need to ask Him for His forgiveness. Maybe there's something in your life that has hindered you. You need to come and come back to God and draw near to Him. Deal with it today. Come tonight. Maybe you're here today and you're not even saved. You don't know for sure that heaven's your home. Your greatest need is to come to trust Jesus right now. Maybe you're here and somebody has hurt you. You've held that grudge and you've been angry and you've grown bitter because of it, because you haven't been willing to forgive. You'd come now and deal with that at an altar. Come on. Come on at this invitation time. Come now. Come now. Somebody's waiting for your help. Somebody's waiting on your decision to make a difference in their life and for their life. Would you come? Maybe you're here today and God is calling you. You never surrendered that call and answered that call, but you'd come today and give your life to Him and surrender your life to His purpose and His will. Would you come now? Come on. Come on. For the house.